This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Hey Google, stop. All right, everybody, good to have you on again. It has been just way too long since I tried to do a recording of a solo podcast episode. Well, actually, that's not true. I did the Cornucopia of Christy McNichol episode, but I'm talking about this time doing the essential movies list. I kind of got stuck. Stuck in my brain. The other day, I was listening to my liked songs on Spotify. This one came up, so I just had it in my brain, and I felt like listening to it again. That's For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield, released 1967. And this song occasionally comes up in my brain, and it feels significant for the political landscape right now in the United States. And I try hard. I try really hard not to get too political, for the purpose of the podcast. My feelings on it is that you don't listen to this particular podcast for that kind of commentary. But what has struck me recently is conversation with my wife, where she has gotten what I'm going to say is a bit more political on her Facebook posts. And her logic is that if you want to try to make changes, you've got to have that kind of discussion. You've got to be able to open up to the debate and put your opinion out there. I've got my opinion and I've got my feelings, but I don't want to put that here on the podcast because I feel like it's going to drive people away from listening to us. My feeling on the current political landscape of the United States is we're so polarized. We're on one side or the other, and it doesn't feel like we're united anymore. So I want to offer up how I feel about certain things, and I'm being purposely vague. I'm leaving it up to you to kind of interpret things as far as the way I lean one way or the other. But the song is very significant for kind of how I feel. It has a great message, even though it was released in 67, but I'd say it's very appropriate for 2019. So take that for what it is. I'm thinking probably the most political I'm ever going to get on for a podcast. We've done a lot of discussions with things like personal issues that we believe in, like supporting the troops. Scott has like charities that he strongly believes in, as far as like in the Florida market of taking care of greyhounds, and he's really big into the adoption and care of greyhounds in the Florida, in the state of Florida, or just in general. So both of those are really great, like, causes and whatnot that we really believe in and we're strong supporters of. And then me also cancer research. So, I mean, nobody can kind of argue and polarize on those particular issues, I believe. But, you know, if you start bringing up politics, then all of a sudden you've got, you know, this divide of opinion. And I don't know, it just doesn't feel, it doesn't feel that we're united. And I'm not proud of that. Not proud of that as an American. So that's it. That's really kind of what was on my brain lately. The message from my wife that, you know, if you have an opinion of things, then you should put it out there for discussion and dialogue so that maybe it'll help influence those that are on the fence. I don't know if I put that kind of thing out there for you guys, our listeners, if you're going to A, care, or B, agree with me, or C, I'm going to lose you. And I value our friendship as, you know, me, your podcast host, and you, my listener, to lose you over something like this. My hope is that one day in our near future, we're going to be united again. And then, and we can be proud of our country and our political process. Maybe one day we will get there. I don't see that right now. It doesn't feel that like we're going to get there. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But I don't want to lose you for me have an opinion that's different than yours. And I don't think that that's right, that we should all get up in arms and be upset with each other for having a different thought process. Aren't we allowed to have that kind of healthy discussion? Isn't that what makes us adults? Doesn't that what make us democratic? Anyway, you know what? That was probably way too serious for the purpose of this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drop this topic right now. We're going to insert our bumper and get the show started. So let's do that here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am your host with the most, Dave. I hope you don't mind me saying host of the most. I may not be your favorite podcasting host, or maybe I am. I don't know. But if I am, I get to I'll wear the mantle of the host with the most. But in this case, I'll take what I can get. You're listening. I appreciate you. Thank you for being on the other side of the equation on this. So what we're doing is we are going to continue with our 1980s essential movies list. And the reason why this one, you may not have realized it, but there's been like a significant gap between when the last time I recorded and this one, as far as an essential movie. And the reason why, and this will help kind of set this up as far as what we're going to do for format, is that when Scott found out that we were going to do Tron, he was like, dude, you need to make sure I'm included on that. He didn't want me to record without him. Now, the problem that we have is that recently he's been busy, I've been busy, getting just time to record our regular podcast episode, let alone an Essential Movies podcast episode, has just been difficult and tough. So our hope is that with this being number 104, Tron, that when that he's going to record solo content and I'm going to edit it into the podcast. So with that thought process, I'm going to try to keep my commentary of this relatively short, and the hopes that he does provide me with his solo content, I can put that on, and then together we'll have a longer type of episode. So first off, let's set this up like we have with the other Essential Movies episodes. And then, like I said, this is 104, this is 1982, this was Tron. So this was right smack dab in the middle of the summer blockbuster season of the great 1982 movies. We're going to insert we're going to insert the trailer here.
The computer, an extension of the human intellect. The ENCOM 511, center of the most calculating intelligence on Earth, programmed by Master Control to survive by all means. Soon, the ultimate tool will become the ultimate enemy.
I still do not understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence.
Hey, 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 it's the big master control program everybody's been talking about.
Kevin Flynn, computer genius. Taken prisoner and held captive within the digital world of the computer itself. Trapped inside an electronic arena where love and escape do not compute.
As we have done in the past, we're going to say, hey Google, tell me about the movie Tron.
Tron is a 1982 movie directed by Steven Lisberger, starring Jeff Bridges, Bruce Boxleitner, and Cindy Morgan.
Hey Google, give me the synopsis of Tron.
Here's the synopsis of Tron. When talented computer engineer Kevin Flynn, Jeff Bridges, finds out that Ed Dillinger, David Warner, an executive at his company, has been stealing his work, he tries to hack into the system. However, Flynn is transported into the digital world, where he has to face off against Dillinger's computerized likeness, Sark, and the imposing master control program, aided by Trond Bruce Boxleitner and Yuri, Cindy Morgan. Flynn becomes a freedom fighter for the oppressed programs of the grid.
That's actually a really decent description. That was, I love that synopsis. Gave quite a bit of healthy detail. And this is kind of where I think Scott and I are a bit differing on this movie. I don't hate this movie. I don't specifically have an aversion towards it. My memory of Tron, 1982... And I got to clarify that because I know that we've had a revisit of Tron in the 2000s. But what I remember is remembering it was really cool from the graphics effects. Love the intermingle between machine and having a person get sucked into a machine. You know, because, I mean, like every other 80s kid, loved the arcades. So this was, you know, Disney's imagining of somebody getting torn into, you know, a arcade game. So graphics, concept, I was floored. Love this thing. Love those friggin' light cycles. But I seem to remember that the storyline, it didn't suck me in too much where I was like riveted. I seem to think that there's portions of it that were slow. And I haven't revisited this in quite a while. For some reason, I don't remember. I mean, there was a lot of action sequences, but I don't remember it holding me as a spectator and thinking it was action-packed. And I think there was a bit more cerebral kind of context that was going into it. Maybe it'd be great for a revisit, but I haven't done that. I haven't done that in forever. I haven't seen this in forever. I might be remembering it wrong, but I remember that wasn't there a ROM and a RAM? And initially, when I was thinking about doing the recording for this Essential Movie, I was going to give you guys a breakdown of what ROM and RAM mean in computer talk. But then I thought, you know what? That's going to be kind of boring for you. So for those that are in the industry and you understand what ROM and RAM are, then, you know, that's pretty cool, you know, having character names based on those guys or based on that, those computer concepts. It's actually kind of funny because recently I've been working with my youngest daughter and we were building her a computer. And so I've been actively involved in making sure that we've got the processor, memory, video card, all that stuff kind of playing together and, working together. Quick side story. I actually been in the IT industry for well over 25 years. So I've been working with computers forever. And I was not able to get this computer to boot up. And I actually took it into work. And the guys that work for me are obviously smarter than me. And I was actually having them take a look at it, try to figure out why it wouldn't boot up. Turned out there was when I put the processor in, I bent one of the pins and we were able to discover that was a problem. There was another guy that had the ability to bend the pin back without me having to buy a brand new processor, which was friggin' awesome. And it's now at the state where we can load the operating system. So it's a beautiful thing. It was able to get booted up and it looks really cool. But back to the movie, because, hey, I went tangent on you. And that's kind of where my head's at with this movie. It feels like based on Scott's reaction, because he actually went and is rewatching it. He, I think, spent some money to see it again before he started to give his commentary. And so he was sending me messages. He was like, dude, this is so awesome. And he was talking about how much he loved it and it was great to revisit it. And then I was like, I don't know if that's going to be one of those things where, I mean, I know I'm not going to pay the $2.99 or $3.99, whatever it is, to rewatch it. But I almost feel a sense of obligation to give it another shot. But I want it to come to me as a free viewing instead of me having to pay money for it. Because if I paid money for it and then it turns out that I don't have that strong of feelings for it, then I'm not out any kind of monetary commitment. So hopefully that's fair. That's kind of my quick assessment. Cindy Morgan, I appreciate her beauty, specifically from Caddyshack days. Jeff Bridges, I remember he did a wonderful job in this. I just don't remember it holding my interest when I may have seen it the first time, which I was loving at the time. So I think that might have been the reason why the actual story of it didn't hold my attention. So in a perfect world, I would have gotten Scott's input and he would have sent it to me. I'm going to insert that here.
Hello, everybody. So this is my addition to Dave's review of Essential Movies number 104, which is Tron. I really had to add something to this because I love this movie, and I really was excited when I saw it come up on the list, or Dave had mentioned it to me, and that we were going to be recording it soon, or he was going to be recording it soon. I begged him not to record without me, and our timing just has not worked out, and we're coming up on this very soon to release it in the sequence that that Dave wants to release it. So I want to talk about Tron real quick. Tron 1982 was pivotal, in my opinion. I absolutely love this movie. It was something so different and unique and fun, and I was a video game nut. Me and my good friends spent a lot of time across the street at the mall. There was an arcade in the mall called Just for Fun. Small arcade, but it had most of the good games. Or anytime I would go to any other arcade or near an arcade, we'd usually end up at the arcade, you know. Just like in the Pac-Man song says, I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm heading to the arcade. Always love that. So Tron, Jeff Bridges plays the guy, the main character, and he works for a gaming company, apparently, and as a programmer, and he wants to get into all the games, and there's a master control, like Big Brother for the gaming world of in computers, but this is like in the computers, and this is well before the idea of internet and gaming online or anything like that. So he wanted just to immerse himself into the game and try to get as good at the games as possible. However, he came across a situation where he was actually transported into the game by this laser beam that they were working on, that his company was working on. I'm not sure where that originated. They didn't give a lot of background on that. They did how'd they do it? They made a Peach go to digital. And so when the Peach went digital and then they could replicate it elsewhere, it was kind of like what they did in The Fly, where you would, you know, take apart all the molecules and move them over there and put them all back together again. So, but in this case, Jeff Bridges' character gets transported into the gaming system, and that's where all the colors and the special effects just blow you away for the time. Nowadays, it may seem a bit trivial or low end, but it really was an awesome experience. You know, it was shot like in, everything was like black and white, but all of their accent colors were very bright neon colors, the blues and the reds especially. And the different games that they ended up playing, they went into the, you know, the light cycles, they call them, and then there was a disc match where it was like kind of like Frisbee. Then there was other one where there was kind of like a Hi-Li, or I think it's like Hi-Li, where you have the scoop and the ball and you would throw it at each other. So this led us into the, you know, the video game of Tron being released, and another video game, kind of a spin-off of it, was Tron Discs, which was one of my all-time favorite arcade games. And it was just a lot of fun. You would stand on these lighted discs, and you had like the Frisbee, and you would have to try to knock your opponent off of his discs on the other side of the screen. Kind of like an advanced version of Pong, really. And then the levels would increase in difficulty, where they would put obstacles between you and the other player. And then there was also where the rings would get smaller that you were standing on, so you had less room to move around to avoid their discs coming at you. But anyway, this game was just such an awesome, awesome game. And then, of course, the full version of the Tron video game with the, I can't remember what they call them in the movie, but they were like these digital spiders that you had to shoot in one of the sequences. You know, you would start in the middle of the screen and you had four choices. You would go up, left, right, or down to go to individual mini games within the game of Tron, which would lead you either to the light cycles or the tanks or the spiders or the cone that you had to blast through a wall to get through the cone. So, and then, you know, they always got more difficult as the levels go on, but that was always fun. So, back to the movie, though. I had forgotten the underlying plot of trying to get the programs. Okay, there's two different main sets of characters. There's users and there's programs, and the programs are written by the users. The programs are the ones that are mainly focused on inside the game, and Jeff Bridges' character gets transported into the game and becomes one of those programs, even though he's still a user. So there's this weird thing. The bad guy wants everybody to, all the programs, to not believe in users, like it's a religion. Don't believe in the users, they don't exist in this world, or something like that. And so the main plot of this game is to, or this movie, is Jeff Bridges and the other character that's in it. Let's see, you have Tron, and then you have Jeff Bridges, and then Bruce Boxleitner, and Cindy Morgan from Caddyshack is in this one, also Lacey Underwood. And so they're all trying to get to the mainframe to change the bad programming so that everything becomes more open source. Like in the world, the computer world, you know, open source, like Android is considered open source. And there's several different types of PC operating systems that are open source. Linux is an example. So this, I think that's what they were leaning towards. They wanted to free the good guys, Tron and his buddies, all wanted to open everything up so that it was all open source instead of being so regulated by the master control, you know, Big Brother or whatever you want to call it. So this, I just remember being so taken by this movie, and my friends too, you know, being in the video game the beginning of the video game era, 81, 82, 83, with so many new video games coming out. You had, you know, Pac-Man, Defender, Space Invaders, Asteroids, and all that, and then plus the Atari being a home game console helped also. So we just had such a fun time watching this movie back when we were younger. You know, we were early teens. And I just really think it's a strong movie. And it definitely belongs on the essentials of the 1980s on this list. However, I think it should be ranked higher. It really is. It has become one of my all-time favorites. I would probably put it in my top 20 or 25, somewhere in that range of essential 80s movies. Maybe even higher. I don't know. I'd have to, you know, my attitude on what my favorites are changes all the time. I've mentioned that in several podcasts previous. So anyway, that is my take on essential number 104, Tron, the original. And if you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. It may be a little dated as far as special effects, but it's a fun idea movie if you were ever into the video games and understand the evolution of video games from the time it started with Pong all the way up until today's, where you can hardly tell the difference between reality and virtual reality. So, anyway, that is all. You guys have a great whatever. And Dave, I will talk to you soon.
Your presence has been detected and recorded. Thank you.
This is Master Control. You will end this program immediately.
Now, if you did not hear Scott's voice and you just continue to hear my voice, then somehow the system failed us. And you're getting only my commentary, and you're going to get a relatively short episode to boot. So hopefully that didn't happen that way, and you got to hear his commentary. And my hope is it didn't go on for like an hour. I'm not going to know because when I'm recording this, I don't think he's either recorded or he hasn't edited anything to send to me. So I don't know how long his edition is going to be. This is the part where I might remind you that we have a website out there. That's Banzai Retro Club. That's Banzai RetroClub.com. Go out there, check us out. Follow us on all our social media connections, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And then, you know, make sure that you're engaged with us when we're doing some social media sharing. We're doing a lot of good stuff on Twitter. Have some great people that we're interacting with there. So I'd encourage you to join in on the tweet conversations. The other thing is I'd like you to do is if you have your favorite podcast app, go out there and follow us and share our content with your friends, family, neighbors. Let them know we exist and you enjoy our show. If you you just give word of mouth, that will be super awesome. So if you did subscribe or if you give us commentary or you give us a like, whatever it is that the podcast app will let you do, please go ahead and do that for us. On iTunes, we'd love that 5-star review. But, you know, hey, if that's something that's just not in your favorite thing to do, I get it. Maybe you're not even using an iPhone, and I keep saying that over and over again, asking people for that, and there's really not that many of us left. Who knows? And so this is the part where I'm going to remind you to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because who knows when you're going to listen to this. Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 All right. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about 1985's The Color Purple.